Welcome to the Flipside Focus, your home for all things indie comics, with your hosts, Dodgy, Josh, and Al Mega.
Coming to you from Capes HQ, this is the latest episode of Flipside Focus. I am your host, Dodgy, and with me is my forever faithful Captain Fuzzybeard himself, the new vice president of Geekery Magazine, the random dude, Josh. Say hello, Josh.
Oh, you gave me all the warm fuzzies and hit me in the feels and shit. I'm doing well. How about you, Dodgy?
Very well, my man, and congratulations to your new role. Long time coming, but good on you, and I'm really proud of you, brother.
It really is an honor. I definitely appreciate Garrett Gunn giving me this opportunity to help carry his vision of Geek Green Magazine, along with Al Mega. So I'm super excited. There's been a lot of stuff happening on Geek Green Magazine, but we'll get into that here in a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And, and I can see big things coming. You know, the vision is there. We want it to be like the new Wizard magazine. So, man, I just cannot wait to grab myself a copy. And sure, fans out there are feeling the same way. So we'll just jump straight into news. And there is a bit of buzz, well, not a lot of buzz coming from San Diego Comic-Con, but one thing that did come of it is the Tick TV series is now a thing, not just a pilot episode, but actually a full-fledged show, and it starts on August the 25th. I don't know about you, brother, but I am pretty excited.
I am. I remember the last time that The Tick was a live-action TV show with Patrick Warburton, mm-hmm. and it was good.
Yeah,
but it didn't capture the essence of the cartoon that we all have come to know and love.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how this one really plays out. Just from what the clips that I had seen, it looks awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see, really see the Tick in action again. He's one of those indie characters that no matter what stint of time he's away, he always comes back. So.
True to that, true. I'm just excited because you're right. It's sort of, I've seen the pilot episode and I had to say, I thought the Tick was a bit too slim or slender to be the Tick, but his personality is louder and, and that's what I like, the loud personality that we got from the animated series, which is what I truly loved. The TV series, it was good, but I like the animated series much better, and that's what I'm hoping to see. Plus, you've also got Jackie O'Haley as the villain. Like, OMG. Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited for it. I'm actually okay with him not being super over-the-top huge physically. For me, it really is, as you said, the personality that is the key component in all of this.
Indeed.
And the Tick really has an ego the size of New York. and he has to be because he's the Tick.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I also like the characterization of Arthur and how he meets Arthur and Arthur's, his yin, in yin and yang, I just love how he's the polar opposite to this over-the-top character, and he tries to ground him, but, try with the, in capitals, in bold characters.
Yeah, I just hope that in this show that we get the spoon. I want to hear the Tick scream, "Spoon!" Just like the cartoon. That was, love it.
Yep. And if you do actually click like on the show's Twitter page, you actually do get invite, like you actually do get a pop-up poster that says "Thanks, chum," in liking me. So I was pretty stoked when I got that, to be honest. It's fun. So if you haven't clicked like yet,
was that a message that they send, or was it?
Yes, it's a message of, you know, tagging you in. So it almost feels like he's actually. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. I was like shocked. I was like, "Oh, who? That was pretty fast. Who liked it?" And when I looked, it was like, "Thanks, chum." It was actually
what,
the tick.
What was that Twitter handle?
I think it's the tweet. Yeah,
the
tick.
Twitter handle?
Let me check. I believe it's the Tick TV show, but I will double check for you because I don't want to give false information.
It's at the Tick TV. I am following that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love the actual poster, like the actual avatar. It's got just the antenna. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I followed, so I'm going to now be waiting very patiently and urgently. So hopefully I get that notification during the show.
Yes.
I may or may not squeal a little bit.
If you do, I'm all for it, brother. So, there.
It's the tech. What do you expect?
Exactly. And also, just another bit of news with Alterna Comics hitting newsstands. Gosh, I cannot wait for this to happen. Peter Cimetti is an absolute genius. And if he does get this launch, that we do get comics in newsstands, you know, that's how I got into comics, you know. And what's better than when you go to buy the newspaper and actually having a stocked comic book shelf? Because I don't know about you guys, but down here in Australia, like, we might only have one or two comics in the entire shelf, and it kind of sucks because when I grew up, they were loaded. You could get Archies, you could get DCs, you could get Marvel. Nowadays, it's just a Phantom, like one or two here or there, which is kind of depressing.
Yeah,
but...
well, in a lot of grocery stores here, I've noticed this because they'll have their magazine aisle, and you really have to look for the comics. And if there is any, it's just that. It's a couple Archie comics, maybe a DC, maybe Marvel, and that's it.
Yeah,
and even then, it's like back issues from like 2 or 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. It's not the current stuff. So, I think if this does work out the way that Alterna is hoping, and I really hope that it does, I think this is going to be kind of a resurgence for comic book sales in those newsstands in grocery stores. But in addition to that, also bring more attention to the world of indie comics, because there's more than just DC and Marvel, obviously, or else we wouldn't be here.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. We need to get the names out there, you know, publishers, creators. So if you do see Alterna trying to hit the newsstands, and if they do yourself a favor and just... buy them. They're what, $1.50 US? Like, that's insane.
Yeah, something like that.
That's insane. Like,
the other nice thing about it, though, and I know that some people may not remember comic books the way you and I do,
mm-hmm.
Using the newspaper style paper. There's just something better about when you turn those pages. It kind of has that rough, grainy feel, not the glossy type of paper that we have now. Not to say that it's not a bad thing the way that it is now, but there's a sense of nostalgia with that style of book.
Yeah, and it actually felt foreign to me at first. I was like, wow, this paper feels really, really weird. And then I'm thinking to myself, hang on a minute, that I remember this paper, which, you know, it was awesome. But give it time, maybe give it 5 to 10 years, it will have that special smell. And you know what I mean.
Yep, yeah, anyone who's had those type of books, they understand the whole concept of that smell. And you really can't put it into words.
No, you can't.
I don't know how to describe it other than it's majestic.
Exactly. It's majestic, but hearing it for the first time, if you're not used to hearing this sort of stuff, it does sound disgusting, but you'll know when you smell it. You'll be...
It's true. It is the new car smell for comic books.
Absolutely. They should make a cologne of it.
How about we just keep that to the box?
All right. Will do. Yeah, so we'll move straight into one of our favorite segments, and this is In Focus, where we touch upon, the books are out on the markets. Even if they're a few months old, it doesn't matter, because this will be new to you because these are indie comics. And this is brought to you by ComicCrusaders.com for everything pop culture, for fans, boy fans. So, Josh, I'll go first. I'll just talk about my first book, and then we'll jump on yours. So my book is, and you might have mentioned it before, it was Archie. It's actually called Your Pal Archie Number 1 by Dan Parent and Ty Templeton. This is an anthology book, like the classic book. So I really enjoyed the classic Archies. And I was watching an episode of The Preacher, and one of the angels was actually holding Archie comics, and I was thinking to myself, oh man, I feel like reading Archie. But now when you look at Archie, it's the all new Archie. So it's very different to what I'm used to. Although I do like the new Archie, but this book, Your Pal Archie, almost has a resemblance of the classic Archie. There's humor in it. A little bit slapstick at the expense of Archie and Jughead, which I liked. There's a lot of laugh out loud moments in this book, and Ty Templeton, he actually wrote the first two books, Harmless Fun, and Dan Parent, and he's an absolute genius because he drew the original classic Archies before they went to the all new, all different Archie, but his style has actually resemblanced the almost a crossbreed between the all-new Archie and the classic Archies, even with a bit of the touch of Riverdale in there as well. So when you read it, you're like, oh, that, Veronica looks like the girl from the Riverdale TV series. But Jughead looks the same. Archie looks a bit like the dude from Riverdale, or a bit like the all-new Archie. So it has that cross-reference, so you get the best of both worlds, or best of three worlds, if you put it lightly. And then Dan Parent goes ahead and draws in the back of the book. There's a classic Betty and Veronica story with the classic look. So that's there as well. So man, as an Archie fan, I'm truly happy to see a book like this, because I wanted to delve back into the classic Archies, but you only have the digest books. And to be honest with you, I'm a comic collector or a comic reader. I don't really like the digest so much because they're the smaller, the thicker. I prefer my floppies, if you know what I mean, or even in a trade paperback form. But as a fan, long-term fan, and, trying to get back into Archie, I think this is a great book. It's not as serious as the all-new Archie. So it's good for all ages, and... I truly loved it, and I'm gonna add this to my pull list, to be honest with you, because I like that nostalgia feeling. It's been used around a lot, but for Archie, it's necessary, because if you look at Archie from now till when he was in the 1930s or whenever he was created, he sort of looks similar, but he hasn't changed as dramatically as the all new or different Archie, but. You sort of need the classic in your life. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I think the fun thing with Archie, though, is even though he has evolved to a degree since his initial conception, that there's been a unique style that has resonated throughout the years with Archie. Captain Kidd. But that's the one thing that I've always kind of appreciated about Archie is the fact that, yes, there's always going to be different artists. There's going to be different writers. But at the end of the day, the art style is always going to be the same, even if there's little changes here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And Archie really has that unique style. So that's one thing that I appreciate, that they've held true to the nostalgia of Archie comics.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, and I definitely saw this one. I didn't read it in depth. I did kind of glance through it though, and I agree that it has that nostalgic feel, other than, you know, than what the new Archie has. So that was definitely something I appreciated. Would this be on my pull list? Not really my thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, even when I was a kid, I'd flip through it, but my attention was quickly there, switched over to either Batman or Spider-Man.
Of course.
You know, because as a kid, that's all that matters.
Yep.
You know, in my age now, you know, I have an appreciation for it, but never could really make that connection
mm-hmm.
To it. Nothing against it, but yeah.
Well, each to their own.
And that's the beauty of comics.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, Josh, what's your pick?
So, my pick is, it's called Verticome. It's a four-part graphic novel written by, and I gotta get to the page with his name, Dan Barry, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Pages sticking together. Yes, created and illustrated by Dan Barry. So he's done all of it, and then it was edited actually by Melissa Barry, who I'm assuming is his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But don't quote me on that. So this book, so a four-part series, and I was lucky enough, I was able to get volume one in this gorgeous hardbound book. And it's a big one too, which I personally appreciated. but the city of Verticome, if you look at like the movie Valerian,
mm-hmm.
that total science fiction, fully immersed world, that's how I would describe this. And the premise of the story is there's this giant machine, this, as it's described here, the mega virtual reality generator, Omni. Everyone's connected. So what that does is that essentially eliminates boredom, loneliness, and fear, missing out on things from the past. So if you're, say you have a loved one that passed away, you're able to use Omni to be able to spend time with them, you know, and feel like they're not gone. And the premise of the story, much like any sort of science fiction, when something is too good to be true, it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the case with this. And so we end up following the story, or following the character, his name is Denuva, and just following him as he goes through his adventures, learning the truth about Omni and about this world that they live in. I really like, so with a lot of indie comics, I kind of feel like for some it really pushes, as far as art style, they really are trying to kind of make their way into like the big two lineup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at least from a lot of the big name titles, from like Dark Horse, IDW, Boom, Dynamite.
Yes.
That's kind of the direction that I see them going, especially as they get more of these big name franchises involved. But with Verticome, it's different. It is definitely his own style of artwork. And it's something I personally appreciate. Mm-hmm. The worlds are drawn very, very well done. You know, coloring, lining, shading, all of that. The composition was really well done, and the story complements that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can see that.
So you definitely get that excitement, you get that action, but it's not the over-the-top of, hey, I really want this to be picked up by a movie studio. I don't get that feel from it. It's just, here's the story, check it out, and enjoy this world that I've created. So, this is one that, and I'm only halfway through the graphic novel, but I've enjoyed it thus far. It's and it's a good sized book. I mean, it's and even the book contains some of the like sketches and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of the character development from the initial concept to how he is now. But this has got to be at least 100. Let's see. Well, the book itself is 180 pages, and then wow. It has all the concept art.
Yes.
So, I'm thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying the book. And the other thing that I really, really like, the logo that they've designed. It's a very plain, it's a plain yet effective logo.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's definitely showing like Omni and the impact that has on this world. But at the same time, it's effective. Mm-hmm. And definitely one you guys should check out. I know they're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So yeah, I would definitely go check them out, at Verdacomb, VERDACOMB. If it's on Instagram, you have to add an underscore at the end, but yeah, I would definitely check them out, and definitely dive into this world, because it's a really cool concept, and mm-hmm. one that potentially could be picked up as a TV show. It has that potential.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Denuva kind of looks like a young Justin Bieber. so Justin wouldn't be able to do it now, but you know, I'm okay with that.
Definitely. So,
but yeah, now if I remember right, did you say you had another pick for In Focus?
I did, and
double the picks.
Absolutely. Ooh. Well, I mean, you know, judging by your book, yours is a bit science fiction, so I had to do something better. I got something science fiction, but a lot bigger. And I mean, the reason why I say it's a lot bigger, because I'm sure not only you and I have heard of it, but I'm sure at least 50% of us who listen to the show would have heard of it, especially if you're born after 1980. All right, so this is Robotech number one. It's been published now by... Yes, exactly. It's been published by British publisher Titan Comics. It's written by Brian Wood, art by Marco Turini, colors by Marco Lesko, and letters by John Workman. So, you know, as I mentioned before, if you're born after 1980, you would have seen Robotech, whether it be on reruns or on, you know, Saturday morning cartoons or anywhere else or any other way, you know, DVDs or illegal downloading, you would have seen it. So, you know, and the thing I liked about this, Josh, is the fact that although they made it a bit serious, a bit realistic, they didn't really take away the nostalgic feel to the machines, to the costumes, to the airplanes with the crossbones on it. Like, things like that were like, oh, yeah, I remember that. The dude flying the plane with the crossbones on the wing, you know? On the tail. Yeah, and you just saw that, and you're like, wow, that is so recognizable. So the fans of the animated series will absolutely enjoy this. You know, for beginners or first-timers, you will get a, you know, you do sort of get an introduction to what the story is about from the opening, so you're not walking in there blindfolded. There is a bit going on, especially with, you know, across Ireland, you know, Rick Hunter returns, and he's treated like shit by his older brother, who goes by a different last name, and then the crew are like, are you guys related? But they sort of, well, you know, Rick Hunter thinks he does, but Roy... Roy Fokker. he doesn't like being known as his brother. Sorry, I'm laughing at his name.
What was that name again? Could you say that one more time? Didn't quite catch that.
Yeah, he's just a Fokker. Yeah, and I just like that relationship and a bit of that angst. And we do actually get to see one of the Valkyrie aeroplanes, so I was quite happy to see that in the first book. You know, and there's a lot to be explained thus far, so you are getting only the opening book, so you're not getting the full story. So, like, don't think that you're going to, you know, see everything in the first book. Be patient. There's yet more to come. And, you know, if you're a first-timer, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it for what it is. It's going to be a, you know, up in the air space odyssey with giant robots fighting giant, you know, monsters and evil robots. So, you know, it's a whole lot of fun. And I didn't think I'd like it as much as I did. And I'm really glad I got to read it. So if you, you know, want to get your hands on it, do yourself a favor and check it out.
Oh, Robotech.
Yeah,
that is some classic stuff right there.
Did you watch it as a kid?
I watched a little bit. It wasn't as frequent,
mm-hmm.
but I did check it out and I did enjoy it.
So. Yeah, I guess Robotech is like Netflix. As a kid, because you can't watch it mid-season and go, oh, that was a great episode, because there is that continuation throughout the entire series, so you're actually watching a whole season unfold, so you can't just walk in and just get a brand new episode with a brand new story, because it's a very continual story, so it was a bit like that as a kid. Like, you had to watch maybe 5 episodes to actually get lured in, because otherwise, you'd be sort of confused just watching it for the first time.
Which is okay if you think about it, but at the same time, it's still awesome.
Yeah.
Especially in that area where it was a lot of science fiction, because during that time, that was at the time when Transformers came out.
It was.
Voltron.
Yes.
So.
Gosh, my favorite times.
awesome. I know. What do you think I said? What I did?
Exactly. All right. So, you know, now we're going to move into, and this is your segment, Josh. It is Kickstarter.
My favorite segment. Yep. So this is Kickstarter campaign powered by Geekery Magazine. Make sure to check us out at geekerymagazine.com. So, as you guys know, this is honestly another one of our very, very favorite segments where we scour the world of Kickstarter to bring you some of the best picks, books that we have really come to knowledge of and want to share with you. And hopefully you guys... enjoy this segment as well, because you're able to hear about new books and you have the opportunity to back these projects. So I'm actually going to kick this one off. Get it? Kickstarter. Kick it off.
Nice.
With a book that, coincidentally enough, is, if you guys have listened to the show for over a year now, is going to sound very familiar. This is Rapid Eye number 2.
Ooh.
Yes. So this is coming out of the world from Tenacious Comics, and our good friend Bobby Torres is back with issue number 2. If you guys want, we did a special interview with Bobby Torres, Al Mega, and myself. And this is back when I first started with UCPN, which is crazy to think. where we talked to Bobby about the first book, Rapid Eye. So let me give you kind of a brief synopsis of the book, and then I'll jump into the Kickstarter. So Rapid Eye takes place, if you guys have liked the movie Inception, it's taking that concept that the dream world is a place that houses all of your memories, information, whatever the case may be. And there's a machine that allows you to go into the dream world to interrogate, find this information, you know, for whatever purpose you need. Mm-hmm. And the government actually has one of these machines. And the main character, Eddie Phillips, is a CIA operative who is on the run. But the crazy thing is, he is on the run not only in this world, but in the dream world as well. And the crazy thing about the way this dream state works, and I really love how Bobby worked this, is you have a certain amount of time in the dream world before people realize that they're dreaming. Once they're dreaming, you're shit out of luck. And so Eddie Phillips is on the run, and while the government is trying to hunt him down, they're also going for people associated with him. And in the first issue, we get a glimpse of that. We get a glimpse of Eddie being chased and all of this, both in the real world and the dream world. But now we come to number two. And this is where we see a continuation of the story of Eddie, how, you know, what he's going through, but also the people who are also affected by this machine. The cool thing that I liked specifically, because I've been given the great honor and pleasure, I actually got to read the book.
Wow.
Even before the Kickstarter went live, which was on the 28th of July. And much like, and I know that I reference a lot to Inception because that was kind of the connection that I had made with this book and why I love it so much.
Great movie.
The thing that I love is the machine that they use. It allows them to also create different times in history. Mm-hmm. It allows them to really go anywhere that they want to go to be able to get the information they need. And if the person's not willing to give it up, they're going to kill them. You know, so it's got that action. The artwork was phenomenal. Again, this story had a successful first Kickstarter campaign with issue number one. I have no doubt that number two is going to be just as successful. But what I'm going to do here is I want to make sure that I give correct information. I do know that the Kickstarter launched on the 28th of July. Now, with 20 days to go at the time of this recording, it's already got 36 backers. $822 have been put forth towards the $1,000 goal. So we got a ways to, you know, we got not a ways to go as far as the money goes, but we got a lot of time to really make this an awesome event. Now, the cool thing is, if you guys have never read the book, just looking through like the different rewards and stuff like that, really anything $3 and up, you're going to get a digital copy of not only issue one, but issue two.
Wow. That's mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Which is really awesome considering the fact that if you never read the first one, you'll have an opportunity to do that. So way you're not looking at issue number two going,
yeah, got to read issue one first.
Yeah. Now, the cool thing, so if, and what I would challenge everyone listening to do, if this is a book that you really, really want to back, which I encourage you to do so, $12 or more is going to get you physical signed copies of issues 1 and 2.
Wow.
That's only for $12 to help back this project.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's, you know, that you really cannot get a better deal than that. Mm-hmm. This is one Bobby has been such a huge, huge fan and supporter of Undercover Capes, and especially Flipside Focus.
Yes.
I know over the course of the last year, from the time that I initially reached out to him to this point, we've been in touch with Bobby, and he's become more than just a comic book creator for me. He really has become a good friend.
Mm.
And it's honestly been that way with any of the creators that we've met and talked to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Luke Stone, also from Tenacious Comics, he's another one I consider to be a very good friend of mine. You know, mm-hmm. Bob Sally, Ben Goldsmith, you know, just to name a few. I know there's so many more. The only reason why those names pop up is because I've talked to him in the last couple of days.
No, it's really good. And I totally agree. Like, just looking at our Facebook page, I think he's the biggest contributor to our page. So we definitely take him in as one of our own. So, you know, it's great to have these creators. Like you mentioned, Bob Selly, even for me, Nathan Kelly has been a great supporter. Ben Slabak, Sean Keenan, so many who've helped out Flipside Focus. So for those creators, we just say thank you. And I guess what we didn't really mention from the beginning, and we really need to, and that is our good friend Phil Buck from Buy Indie Comics Day, which was yesterday. Great initiative. I saw a lot of traction on the social media part. So if you did go out to buy an indie comic yesterday, you're really doing your part, and we all thank you. So,
And most of you guys those of you who listen to the show regularly, which, again, thank you guys. We appreciate it.
But
you guys have heard at the beginning of some of the episodes, you'll hear, I'm Phil Buck from Buy Indie Comic Book Day, and you're listening to Undercover Capes. Blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Again, Phil has also been a huge supporter of what we do here, and so we can't thank him enough. But yeah, definitely Rapid Eye number 2 to kind of bring it back. Definitely go check it out. What we'll do is we'll make sure to put links to the Kickstarter campaigns in the description so you guys can go check it out. Again, if it's a book that, and really any Kickstarter campaign that you see that you absolutely love, back that project.
Absolutely. Back that thing
up. Because we have the opportunity to support these projects. It's because of us that these books are made.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we mean us as fans. So do yourself a favor and back them up. So I'll jump into my Kickstarter. This Kickstarter is a little bit unorthodox, Josh, because this book has not yet been released. Can you believe it? This book is to be released on the 8th of August and on Kickstarter. And this book is called Out of Sight by Patrick Hammond. This is a modern day take on the Invisible Man. The main character, Thomas Taylor, does what any invisible man should do, and that's to steal as much stuff as he can do. So, this guy's a thief. You even get pages on his website or on the website, outofsightcomic.com, we do actually meet Thomas Taylor, and we see him being incarcerated. So he is a criminal already. So it's not a matter of him becoming invisible and turning into a crook. He's already a crook, as the police see him, not as us readers see him. So a little bit, you know, a bit misunderstood, you know. And I mean, I'm quite excited to see what happens when he does get his invisibility powers and just goes out and start wrecking havoc and, you know, steal as much stuff, you know, or, you know, and that's just basically from the Sipnosis. So we hope to see more in the story, a bit more character development, but definitely it sounds really exciting because I haven't really heard of an invisible character, not for a long time, to be honest with you. So, I mean, my favorite invisible, seen movie would be Hollow Man. And I don't know if you've seen that, but Kevin Bacon turns invisible.
Oh, yes. That one was awesome because
yes.
I remember the scene where they first inject him with the serum that causes him to be invisible.
Yeah.
Just seeing it kind of dissolve away and you're able to see every layer of the skin and all
that. I know. That was freaking awesome. And, you know, and then you see what happened to him when he became invisible. So I'm hoping to see a similar theme in this comic. So a bit early days yet, but it's definitely, I mean, if you are ready to check it out, look for it. August the 8th, Out of Sight by Patrick Hammond. Check it out. And I'll move on to my second pick. I'll just go through my second pick real quick. And it is, and you're going to be, you might actually like this, Josh. It's called Drawing Blood by Kevin Eastman, David Avalon, and Ben Bishop. And it's the Kevin Eastman. Can you believe that? This is a dark comedy.
Now, for those who don't know why we're paying so much attention to that particular name, if you guys have heard of, you may or may not have heard of it, kind of a big thing, maybe the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
What?
Kevin Eastman. I know. Kevin Eastman is one of the co-creators of those heroes in a half shell.
Exactly. And that's why when I saw this in a Kickstarter, and you know what, for any TMNT fans, you're going to be drooling after I talk about this. So he's actually working with co-writers and co-artists from IDW. So this is his project, but he's in a collaboration team with fellow IDW creators. But this isn't an IDW book. This is a full-fledged indie book. This is a dark comedy, drama, slash dramedy. I don't know if that's a word, but that's what's used in the description. It's the tale of a professional comic book artist, Shane Bookman, another Shane, yay, who lost his will to draw. But rather than, rather than try and do other things, he found himself, because he's in his 40s, money is really scarce, and he makes poor life decisions that sort of take him to the underground, you know, doing stuff that he shouldn't be doing and getting himself into all sorts of trouble. So, you know, I was a bit shocked by this, but I kind of see it could be a what if for Kevin Eastman's life. You know, maybe now, because he's in his early 50s, but maybe 10 years ago, I mean, where was he really? Didn't hear from him for quite a while. This could be a what if story of his own life, maybe. You know, he created a very successful comic book, and now he is, you know, living day by day with the money that he made in the past and not making any new funds. You know, and I thought that was a really good way to actually tell a story of what it would be like to be this comic book creator. And, you know, I'm actually quite excited about it. I wouldn't mind reading this myself. So, going to the rewards. If you're listening to this podcast right now, I suggest pausing, jumping onto the Kickstarter page, look for Drawing Blood, because you're going to be drooling. Like, There's Casey Jones' mask up for grabs. That's hand painted. There's sketch books by or sketch, you know, covers by Kevin Eastman. There's paintings by Kevin Eastman of the Ninja Turtles. Like, it's Ninja Turtles merchandise up for grabs. If you were to pledge, you know, like big amounts of money for this book, so one, you get this awesome book, you know, which is a graphic novel size. So I believed it was like within the hundreds of pages, so it's a pretty fat book. But also, you get some really nice, you know, Ninja Turtle merchandise. You know, it's truly awesome. I was shocked that, you know, that this is out. And you know what? They've got 557 backers, 40,639 dollars out of a target goal of 75k. 25 days to go. Like, seriously, you know, there's a lot of money to be made for this book. It's going to come out in print, but just the merchandise alone, I mean, seriously, it's enough to go out there and get you spending. So it's definitely worth a look, you know, and it's great to see, you know, Kevin Eastman. Like, I only, outside of Ninja Turtles, I only know him of working with Heavy Metal magazine, but that's about it. So to see this, like, and this is his baby, wow, I'm excited.
Yeah. Speaking of other wows, just about a year ago or so, another book, and this is related to Kickstarter, hence why I'm bringing it up.
Yep.
Do you remember me talking about Delta Anthology?
Delta Anthology.
Yes, created by Ryan Nichols. We actually had him on the show.
Mm-hmm. Just
so the I was looking the other day because I saw a post that the book is actually out now.
Okay.
The Kickstarter campaign, and the reason why I'm sharing this, because I hope the viewers see the benefit of Kickstarter. So this book, we had talked about it. It was still kind of in that pre-production at the time of the Kickstarter, but they had doubled their goal of what they were hoping to achieve. But the book is now finally out. And I was watching some of the videos and stuff like that on it. And oh my gosh, Ryan was not kidding when he talked about how gorgeous this book was.
I know now.
Yeah, now you remember. So the reason why I bring this up is just to show the importance of why Kickstarters and indie comics are so valuable, especially if you love these type of books, if you love the wide variety of books that you get, it's all because of Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just random tangent, but it had caught my eye. I was just kind of flipping through and had seen the book, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, wow.
Good times. And definitely make sure to check out geekerymagazine.com because you will get to see a lot of the reviews, a lot of the previews, if you will, for some of these books. And in addition to that, there's been a new addition to geekerymagazine.com. Do you know about this, Dodgy?
You may have to fill me in, brother.
All right.
Let the fans hear it.
Awesome. So for those of you who love movies, there's now been a new addition to Geekery Magazine called Battle at the Cinema. This has been a joint effort with a good friend of mine from Real Going Nerdy, where he and I talk about not only the movies that are out, how they're doing, but movies that are coming up, and then we do very similar to what we would do here with the OG But we have a section called The Vault, where we bring up movies that either you should watch or you should watch again if you've seen them before. It's been so much fun recording these videos with him. So we do have those up on geekgreenmagazine.com, as well as my host on that show, Thaddeus, on his YouTube channel at Real Going Nerdy. So definitely check it out. And it's really kind of helpful because what we do is we like to record them before the movies come out so you guys can actually watch it and kind of get a feel for the movies that you want to see if you're a little unsure about it. I know there was one he was excited for, The Dark Tower, which, if you guys know, that's one of Stephen King's books that kind of incorporates his entire world that he's created. So yeah, if you guys love movies, check that out.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely, that would be really fun to see. So so you basically watch the movie just as it comes out and then just tell everyone what's in it? Is that the gist of it?
Yeah, we give our reviews, and honestly, we're honest. So if we haven't seen the movie, we're going to tell you. But we at least do enough research on it to, much like what we do at Comic Crusaders in here, we give honest reviews.
Yes, absolutely. But is it spoiler-free?
Yes and no.
Yes and
but
no.
When there are points that there are spoilers, we do take a page out of Sloppy Spoilers.
Disclaimer.
A spoiler-free review, and then I give you a warning, and then jump into the spoilers. If the conversation warrants it. If it doesn't, we don't do it.
Mm-hmm. No, fair enough. Fair enough. Wow. That sounds awesome.
But the vault section is fun because, again, much like the OG, we bring up movies that we haven't heard about in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my first pick from the first episode was the movie Equilibrium.
Oh, fantastic film.
See, and just like I said in there, if you've seen it, you know how amazing it is.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, you have no clue what we're talking about until you see it.
Absolutely, and that was pre-Batman Bale. That was pretty awesome.
It was. Well, and it came out around the same time as The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing, and I don't know if you picked up on this, so in the movie, the character known as Father is played by Sean Pertwee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fans who watch a particular show known as Gotham, we know that Sean Pertwee plays Alfred Pennyworth.
Oh, wow. See, it's so long ago since I watched it. Like, long time ago.
Yeah, but now you're going to watch it again.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But, yeah, we've had a lot of stuff going on Undercover Capes lately, between Crisis and the Toyverse.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've been a regular now on No Price Podcast. I know Definitive Crusades rocking it.
Absolutely.
It's been a good time. And for those of you who love the National Football League, I'm going to just say it here. So those of us that are hosts here at Undercover Capes, we are having our own fantasy football league. So pay close attention to our social media, like on Twitter, because I'm going to be talking some trash.
Nice. Love a bit of banter.
I know Al Mega, well, he can try to talk trash, but much like the Giants season, we'll lose.
Mm-hmm.
I had to take my jab at Al because unfortunately he is not here this time, but he will have an opportunity at our next episode to respond. But much like the Giants, it probably will be a week show anyway.
Oh dear. Oh, can't wait to see this.
Oh yeah, it'll be awesome. Oh god, I just saw a trailer for Hulk versus Kratos.
Oh.
Ooh. Sorry, tad lost there. So, but this has been a fun episode. I know it's been a little while. Life got crazy there for a
Yep,
moment, but.
gets in the way, I know. I know. But just speaking of sport, and I know where you are, Josh, you're in the, good old Utah, but our Sydney Kings are actually flying over to play the Utah Jazz in the, which is a first for both countries, that an Australian team is actually going to play in the NBA preseason. So I
That's
just,
cool.
yeah, so I really hope our Sydney Kings do one over the Utah Jazz. That would be exciting. But that's about as much about American sport as you'd get out of me. So,
Well, yeah, but I'm also a big fan of rugby.
rugby, yes.
Yeah, I won't mention my favorite team because I know it may cause a rift in our friendship, and I don't want it to.
Nah, it's all good, brother. If you're talking the All Blacks,
Oh, absolutely.
yeah,
They're like the New England Patriots of the rugby world.
well, they are, and but you know what? You have no riff with me because I also follow the All Blacks because my mother's from New Zealand, so
Oh,
there's
so
no
got a little bit
riff.
of Kiwi in you.
Absolutely, oh, a whole lot of Kiwi in me. But you're absolutely right, Josh. This has been a very excellent episode. I had a whole lot of fun. I hope you fans have as well. Any feedback, comments, please let us know via Facebook, Twitter, or just on undercovercapes.com. We'd love to hear from you. Any books you want us to talk about, do us a favor, undercovercapes.com. Any feedback, undercovercapes.com. Anything, just shout out. We definitely take the criticism lightly or never. No, joking. But yeah, but man, just let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Any books you want us to talk about, man. We're the place to be, undercovercats.com. On behalf of myself, Dodgy, and with the random dude.
Josh.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Bye bye.
This has been a production of Undercover Capes. Make sure to check us out on undercovercapes.com as well as on Facebook and Twitter.